So, Lauren, I have a question. I
Sure.
know that you have a long career in risk management. I know you recently retired from that role, but prior to leaving, because I know you're newly retired, do you ever get nervous with all of your experience? Because I think hopefully there's a lot of different age groups listening in and curious just past, present, and maybe even future. Do titles scare you? Do you ever get nervous at meetings, or are you just so comfortable in your own skin, you're good?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't get nervous, especially at the beginning of the career. So as an example, I did a lot of healthcare consulting. So I used to go into surgeries and observe surgeries and really work with the doctors on safe work practices for the nurses and the employees that were in there. And at the beginning, I was terrified. You have an orthopedic surgeon come in. And I just, that title just always got me. And then I think it was because I wasn't confident. I was young. I wasn't confident in my ability. And I went into it always thinking, like, why should I have a seat at this table, right? I'm in a surgery suite. Why? I'm young, And they kind of treated you that way at the very beginning when you're young. But as my career went on, no. I didn't because I think with experience and you feel like, you know what? I know my stuff. People just want to make sure that you're not wasting their time. You're bringing value, added value to the situation. Public speaking was another thing. I did a lot of it at the beginning. And I remember in the interview saying to the folks, is there a lot of public speaking? Because that makes me really nervous. They're like, oh no, oh no. Oh, well, it was 50% of my job. At conferences and with clients, and I'd speak to boards of directors. And again, at the beginning, very stressed out. When I knew I was talking to the boards of directors, I would literally stand in front of the mirror and rehearse my presentation like five or six times so that I knew it cold. But as I got on in my years, I just felt a lot better. About my abilities and it that stuff went away and it was old hat.
Yeah. How about you, Aaron? What's your take?
A tale of two errands. I would say a while back, like when I was working inside of a senior living community, titles didn't mean anything to me. But when a regional director or the CEO was coming, like I wanted to make sure I wore my best suit and introduced people, but they're a guest in my house, and so it wasn't necessarily intimidating, but I wasn't a person, I worked for that person. I wasn't trying to have him buy anything for me. And so as I started this role, all of a sudden, it became like, oh my God, I gotta talk to a CEO. What am I gonna say? It shifted. And I have now understood that my perspective is powerful. And all I have to do is talk about my perspective, and then I will attract the right CEO or the right person. I don't wanna shrink. And I don't want to expand myself too much. I just want to walk in as myself. And that has taken some practice, right? That has taken some time for me to realize they're a human just like me. And I have a service, and either they want it or they don't. That's just it, And I have also been able to see how they appreciate things differently. Like there's a new perspective that I have today of a CEO or another title than I did before. And just going into them or to speak to them and recognizing they put their pants on the same way that I do. And I have a perspective that they do not. Right or wrong, better or worse, I don't make those judgment calls anymore. So
So good.
now if I were to meet, like Michael Jordan in the airport, I would be very nervous. I wouldn't know what to say. I'd be like, oh my God, I love the Bulls.
I love you, Michael. How are you?
You know, I really like Horace Grant, but you're the best. You're the best of all time. You know what I mean?
That's how I'd be like if I saw The Rock in the airport.
Yes.
Like, I love you. I love you, The Rock. I love you.
I'm getting a visual of gate changes with Angie chasing The Rock and Aaron,
I know, Angie
and Michael guys. Jordan, and I'm on film going, this is good content. This is good content.
Yes. Yes. I was in Austin. Actually, Angie and I were in Austin at the same time. And I thought, if I run into Brené Brown, what am I going to say? So I need to have everything that I'm going to say ready because I may run into her. I did not run into her, but I was ready in case I ran into her.
Oh, good advice, funny. Aaron. Always be ready to meet your heroes.
That is funny. Do any, Angie, I'm just curious because I know you coach a lot of the nursing teams. Does this come up in conversations about nervousness with team meetings or senior leadership meetings?
Yeah, I mean, they may not talk about it in terms of being nervous, but most nurse leaders that I coach, 99% of them are clinically excellent, but do not have communication, relationship skills, how to move through conflict, confidence to have a conversation. But that a lot of that also, that being said, is because of the lack of feeling safe. There's a lack of trust on the team, whether it be, you know, when I'm doing, for instance, group coaching, there's a leader, a team leader who's their boss, and then there's them. So there's two things that both people, the leader also sometimes doesn't feel safe or trusts that she can be and say the things or the ideas or the frustrations or whatever, same for her team. So I don't know if it's nervous. I guess yes, but the core of that would be, you know, for those other reasons. Not having the skills, number one, confidence in yourself, and not having trust.
Yeah.
Can I go back to that question of do you get nervous? Because the things that we work on when I'm coaching are all about, like Aaron alluded to, in not so many words, but like the self-confidence. And, you know, I feel like I've been talking about this a lot lately. Like, I feel like, I think the word is audacity, maybe. Maybe that's not the right word, but I look back at just because I didn't know what I didn't know, that the titles and stuff, I mean, literally I look back and go, who did I think I was? Like what the heck? And I'm grateful that I had confidence, but no reason to feel confident, dude. I had zero experience in anything. And I just was like, we're gonna do this. So having that confidence in myself where I didn't, and I kind of started later in life, y'all, you know, like my entrepreneurship didn't start until I was 40 or a little into my 40s, almost 45. So I had all that experience to sort of just be bold and do whatever. But the titles and stuff never mattered to me. And also, you know, again, Aaron saying something about the pants, and we all put our pants on the same way. Oprah's quote is, we all poop. I love that one. But the other one is also, I've been now in this long enough that we have this feeling that because it's a big organization or because it's a CEO or because they're the C-suite folks or whatever, that they have their SHIT together and they know what they're doing. Not say that they don't know what they're doing, but at all, nobody at the top doesn't know what they're doing. They're just freaking doing their best. And it's a shit show. Now I just said it, but it is like, and you go, and the first time you're like, what? And then that's a very cool experience, actually, because it really normalizes that, oh, I'm just going to show up, right, Aaron and Lauren? Just going to show up, show them what I got, and we'll see what happens. So that's what our job is as a coach to do, is teach those skills, teach that self-awareness, the confidence, build the skills. And at the end of the day, they got to just make that choice to stand on their own two feet and who they are.
Yeah,
anyway,
makes sense. I was thinking too. At the end of the day, I always say, you know, I've never been to a funeral yet where someone is at the podium talking about the person that's passed as they were the greatest accountant ever, and they had their spreadsheet by 5 o'clock. They talk about character. They talk about they made you laugh. They talk about they were kind. So I always think you're only as good as the role, so to speak, while you're in it, but you can be as good as you are as a human and as a person your entire lives.
Okay, quick break. Have you seen the Traveling Sales Ladies exclusive coaching collection? Courses built specifically for sales pros who live out of a carry-on. Buyer mindset, road safety, work-life stuff. All of it, actual coaches, no fluff. Take advantage of our bundled package for all courses. Grab the link in the show notes, and let's get back to it.
Angie, if you see something on the news and you're going out on Southwest, you said, where are you headed, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, this next trip, I'm going with my mom to see my sisters in Portland.
Okay, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you saw that there were protests happening in, not to get into politics, but if you saw protests happening in Portland, would all of a sudden that make you nervous to go, or would you be like, not my issue, I'm going? The things in the news contribute to how you travel or how you change travel plans.
I mean, not in the United States, they don't, to me, at this time. I definitely think about it currently, especially. My son and his girlfriend headed to Australia day before yesterday. And, you know, my sisters are great travelers. I do get thoughtful about it, but I'm not traveling internationally very often. If I was traveling internationally, I would give more pause. My sisters doesn't slow them down. They don't have any kids. They travel internationally all the time. And yes, I was thoughtful about my son. And I said, we need to make sure we have communication set up before you go so that if we need to contact each other, we can. But as far as stuff in the U.S., it will be on my mind likely while the war is happening.
Yeah. How about you, Aaron?
Well, when the government was shut down and a lot of air traffic controllers weren't coming to work, I said I had a trip in December, and I said, I'm driving. I'm not going to be flying. I'm not going to fly. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I'll just drive. It's 12 hours. I'll listen to a book or two. Mm-hmm. But then they came back to work, and I ended up flying. So to me, that's the biggest hurdle, is if the air traffic controllers aren't coming to work, I'm not going to risk it. That's
or set or the or do. The second string or the second string air traffic controllers.
Yes, yes. Would I go to a place with massive riots? I think that I would think about that, and then I would figure out how to go around it. The news sensationalizes a lot of things. So, where is it? Is it controlled to one area? Am I going near that area? That's what I would be thinking about.
Yeah. How about you, Lauren? Because we've talked about this in the past, right? If you travel, then flying doesn't bother you. But if you stop the big gaps in between, you tend to be a little more nervous about that. So as far as events coming into play, I was telling you, I share the same thing. If I'm on a plane day in and day out, I have no issue. Still just go, go. But if it's been a little bit of a break, now my mind's wandering. But are you like that too when it comes to events?
I am. In fact, I just had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine that was visiting last week down here. She's got a family destination wedding to Mexico in 3 weeks. And she is really stressed out because she's trying to figure out, you know, do I want to be that person that cancels? But she, on the other hand, she's thinking, I don't want to go with all the unrest and everything that's happening in Mexico. She said, I don't want to go, to be honest, you know? So she's torn and she still hasn't decided. It'll get, you know, she'll make that decision. I guess it'll be a game time decision for her. But I, you know, it's more for me what's happening in the airline industry. So I did fly during the government shutdown, but I'll tell you right now, I was stressed out. the entire flight. And I called a very dear friend who is on the National Transfer Board, Transportation Board. And I was like, you know what? What would you do? He said, I'd probably go, but I'd give it some thought. And I, you know, it wouldn't be a clear cut. I will go. So I kind of do my research and I think about it and for probably ad nauseum. But yeah, it does affect, you know, it does affect, you know, the airlines especially. I don't want to hear that, you know, that they're short-staffed on the TSA, that they're short-staffed on, you know, the folks that are guiding planes in. That freaks me out for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I think ignorance is bliss, right? We could all just shut the TV off for the week before we travel and we'd be the happiest travelers in the whole airport.
That's right. That's
right. Of not listening. So anyway, you know what was interesting too is I find myself if there's a near miss or I don't want to get on the road of tragedy or whatever, but I mean, when you hear about these situations where high turbulence forced an emergency landing, if I'm flying the next day, in a weird way, I'm thinking, well, my probability would be so highly unlikely that that would happen.
Get that out of the way.
Now that that happened.
Now that happened. And those four, I mean, you know, but that sounds so cold and it's not meant to be cold.
Oh,
it's just
true.
Human behavior, you know, of, okay, that can't happen twice, you know, but.
Yeah. That's so funny that you said that because I totally, I'm like, okay, I'm probably good.
Yeah. Right.
That's so terrible. That's terrible.
Oh, you want to know if we're going to get into this kind of conversation? I think about those airplane mechanics. Are they treating you good? Are you happy that you're here? Did you really make sure that everything was screwed in? Or are you sticking it to the man and I'm going to have to pay for this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to know.
Yes.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about importance of culture.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
For sure.
Yes.
Well, how about when they say there's a delay because of a maintenance issue and people are all cranked up and I'm like, people, I don't want to get on a plane that isn't safe. And they just jury rigging it a little bit to get it off the ground. Like, oh, God.
Right.
I know.
Are you being
lazy
today?
Yeah.
I know. Are you being lazy today? Or are you going all in? Like, I need to know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I need you to be all in. Non-lazy today. All in.
And I never want to hear from
it. We do appreciate those airport folks that are that are all in. Thank y'all.
Yes. Yeah. Appreciate it very much. But please don't ever tell me to move my seat to balance the plane. I've had that happen. That does not make me feel comfortable if I'm being honest. Can we balance some passengers? That should be all electronic, digital, not human, I don't think. That's just
eyeballing you and they're like, wow, she's a little bit of a heavy set woman. We're going to put her on the right side and in the back. And then I'm like, why am I moving? Is there a weight issue or what?
It's the menopause.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
That is a good one.
Hello.
Good one.